Hello, and welcome to Safari Conversations, the Singita podcast. Even though we've been around for 30 years, we're relatively new to podcasting. But we are storytellers by nature, and we've got so much to share with you. Alongside our conservation partners, we've been busy exploring and protecting Africa's wilderness. So join us as we unpack inspiring, fun, and sometimes crazy stories where you'll meet our incredible people and learn all about the special places in Africa that we call home. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Safari Conversations. My name is Michael and I'm Singita's in-house writer. Today I'm joined by a very exciting and inspiring guest. Mangaliso Nzuza is a visual artist based in Cape Town, South Africa. Working with oil paints, his distinctive still lifes and portraits draw from personal experience and various avenues of culture to explore themes of subjectivity, memory, and belonging. Elements of the natural world feature fairly prominently in his work, but as you'll hear, they form just one part of a much richer and more layered story. He's been on an incredible journey over the past few years, exhibiting in London, New York, Copenhagen, and Cape Town, to name a few places, with an upcoming exhibition at Southern Guild in New York later this year. His work is a powerful testament to the depth of contemporary African creativity. Community lies at the heart of Mangaliso's life and practice, and he has a remarkable ability to translate what he observes and learns from others into his art. We spoke to him from his studio in Cape Town ahead of his residency at Singita Sabi Sand. By the time this episode is released, he will have spent 2 weeks at Ebony, translating the inspiration he found into a new body of work, one piece of which will be exhibited in the Singita Boutique and Gallery. This episode was recorded in two parts, with the first section capturing our conversation before his stint in the wild, and the second being a more retrospective discussion afterwards. We hope you enjoy. Mangaliso, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling all right. I've just been inspired and ready to hit the studio. So I'm feeling grounded and quietly excited for what's to come. There's been quite a lot of momentum, so I'm keen for everyone to see.
Is inspiration something you tend to jump on, or is it something you like to sit with and percolate a little bit before you kind of start using that, channeling it into your work?
I do like to sit and contemplate often in the studio before I jump straight into the work, and then I just let myself flow. Whatever comes from the paintbrush straight onto the canvas, then I'm satisfied with that. I don't like to force or impose too much what's going on. I think that's the most important thing when that happens.
Where do you think that impulse to create comes from? And how do you nurture it, especially in times when it doesn't flow naturally?
As a self-taught artist, this has come to me like naturally, especially when I used to doodle and draw when I was younger. My mom always used to tell me stories of how I was a quiet kid growing up, and especially during classes, how the teachers used to complain that I didn't used to talk to the kids, other kids, as much. And they used to call my mom in to almost like ask her what was going wrong at home or if I'm okay. And she was like, no, he's fine. He just likes to draw and doodle. And I really appreciate that coming from her.
As an artist living and working in the city, what would you say your relationship is with nature, with the natural world?
I still feel somewhat connected to the city, especially living in Cape Town. The foliage that you see, even when you do look outside of my window and you can see the trees and the bushes and the view of Table Mountain, there's always like small tokens here and there that I can integrate into my artworks. But even with that, I think the most important thing is when I do go back to KZN, especially Gwanongoma, which is up north in Zululand, where I take so much inspiration from then. But when I am here, my friends and people in the art community always try to make sure that I do come outside of the studio and go for walks, go to the beach, and it's a moment for me to almost be still and present with the people that are around, which is my community.
And how do you find those experiences influence your work and yourself, your being, and how you're feeling at any given point going out into nature and spending some time outdoors?
This goes back to what started the series as a whole. Last year in 2024, I was in a difficult place in my life and I felt almost constricted by the deadlines and the demands from the art industry. And before, my artwork was mostly placed in domestic settings. And when I was speaking to family and friends, when they would try to make me go out to these, to the beach and to take walks, that's when I found a lot of my inspiration would come from. And my dad has a farm up there in Northern Zululand, and that's when I really found time to almost be still and connect with nature around me, because it is a rural small town, and I'm grateful for those times.
Since that experience, is it, do you find you're looking for that kind of stillness a little more in your life?
I definitely do still want to bring it out more, and I feel like in that stillness, I'm still learning more about myself. It is important now, especially when there's just so much noise and movement in the world around us. I feel like we all need to be still and present in the moment.
Do you think there's inspiration in everything, or do you tend to draw it from sort of particular sources and then interpret them in different ways?
I do think that there's inspiration in everything, especially everywhere I look, and just with shared memories that I've had and memories that do come back to me when I am painting from like childhood or memory. I think this is just mostly dependent on the specific artwork that I'm working on or the series. A lot of the work is intuitive, but I do think it is important when I'm working on that one specific artwork or the series that conceptually I do bring in themes of the nature as per se, just to kind of evoke that emotion, especially when I use my colors. I do feel like utilizing the colors from the landscape has made the work so much more fun and playful, but also still retaining that introspective and contemplative theme for sure. Like with the colors, I think that's probably what draws quite a lot of people to the work.
The nice thing about spending time in nature, the more you do it, the longer you're there, the more you notice, the more you see, the more colors and textures and subject matter you kind of come across.
Yeah,
really looking forward to seeing your work. And so looking at your work, I mean, quite varied and diverse in terms of maybe subject matter or setting, things like that. But there are a lot of recurring motifs or elements of nature in your work, from sort of tall grass to fruit to rivers to wide open skies. Would you say that nature forms a part of what you're trying to express, or does it play a more sort of supporting role in terms of its setting? And has this changed over time?
I feel like it plays more of a supporting role. Even when you look at my figures, these black figures that are in my artwork, they're very outspoken and sculptural, even though it doesn't seem like they are speaking to one another. But there's like this quiet confidence about them for sure. So when I was making the series, I found that adding that element of nature, I was at a place in my life where I felt that way. I was much more confident in who I am and my abilities as an artist and the people that were surrounding me for sure.
How do you define nature, and what does it mean to you?
I think nature is a powerful force that's able to bring each and every one of us together. I think that's as much as I can say.
That feels like a good segue to speak about where you'll be next, which is in Asabi Sand, spending some time at Singida Ebony. What are your expectations for your stay at Singida? And is there anything you're looking forward to in particular?
I really want to be more present. I think that's something that I feel like I need to tap into more, especially when I go back to what I was speaking to you about, all the demands that happen in the art world, and just slowing down and listening. And the most important thing is maybe the stillness that happens at the Asabi Sands would just open up new ways of seeing. And I think that is something that I'm always searching for in my work.
That brings us to the end of our conversation before Mangaliso set off for the Asabi Sand. But the story doesn't end there. We caught up again after his return to Cape Town to explore how his experience shaped his creative output. Here is that conversation.
How are you finding it being back in Cape Town after a sort of extended break, first in the Sabi Sand now and then in KZN?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been good. I mean, I won't lie. I was kind of disappointed and sad to come back to Cape Town. I mean, I had an amazing time back in Sagita. And I think it's one of those memories that you'll definitely treasure forever. But I am happy to be back just to see my friends and see some familiar faces that I haven't seen in quite some time.
Nice. It's hard once that bush bug bites. It's like, it's in you. Tell us about your time in the Sabi Sand.
I didn't know what to expect, to be honest, and I didn't want to put any expectations for myself. I didn't really know much about Sagita beforehand, but I did like the idea of just going there with a blank canvas almost, and I was completely blown away. I mean, I flew from Cape Town International Airport, and we landed at Skukuza Airport, and I was greeted by the transport that was there. It was a very beautiful drive too. I mean, we drove through the Kruger and I was able to see a couple of animals on my way there. And even the driver that was taking me to the lodge, he was so well informed about just the history of the Kruger as well. And that was really nice to take in. I didn't have my phone on the entire time, so I really enjoyed listening to everything that he had to say about it. And we arrived at the lodge and I was greeted by Primrose, and they came with this exfoliating scrub that I've never seen before. So that was like a really nice gesture just to welcome me into the lodge. And they were able to show me around the space. And everyone was so warm and welcoming once I entered there. The first thing that I noticed was how the architecture of Sagita Ebony blends so well with the foliage around. And you can see that they took inspiration from African architecture too, because I noticed that there weren't like acorns around, especially like the main reception or seating area. It was built in a way where the air would naturally just blow through, which was really, really cool. And it's something that I really enjoyed. And what they touched on was being able to take references from your surroundings. So like that symbiosis and mimicry that you'd often see, it felt like home at the end of the day. So I knew as soon as that first day that I arrived here, I knew that I'm really going to enjoy my time here.
Amazing. It is quite incredible how it's so open, but at the same time sheltered. Yeah. So within a few steps, you can be out in the open overlooking the river, sky above you, step inside and you're like completely sheltered and it feels quite insular and warm.
Yeah, completely.
Yeah. And that hand washing rituals are really interesting. I'm sure they explained it to you. It's sand from the Sand River to cleanse, to welcome, to start fresh, which is exactly what you were saying. You wanted to kind of arrive there with a blank slate.
Absolutely amazing. I think obviously that touches on the sustainability. And even when they told me about the food that they had there with the meal that they served, sometimes they would take from like the herbs that grew around them. And it was really, really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned obviously the architecture, the warmth, the people. Were there any sort of moments or experiences that stood out for you in particular?
I think once I was there, the first couple of things that really did stand out to me was, besides like the staff, but also just interacting with the guests themselves. They almost like used Sagita as like places of like celebration. So a lot of people were coming there for like their honeymoons or for graduation presents, or finding out that they were pregnant. So like it was really, really awesome to see people be in a space where they can, you know, celebrate such important milestones in their life. And like choosing Sagita, for example, to do that in a space where people do want you to feel warm and cared for. So it was really, really cool to see. And what I really liked is they really want you to tap into like a sensory experience. They did encourage you to do a couple of the activities and like be outside and be enveloped in nature. And one of the things that I touched back with you regarding this was how I did the sound bath for the first time. And that was like absolutely incredible. So we had switched off our phones and we sat by the river and we listened to the water rushing past by and the leaves with the wind. The instructor had taken out like rain sticks and use traditional instruments as well as like the bowls for the sound baths. And we sat there for like 30, 45 minutes as they slowly spoke to us, and we were able to almost remain grounded and almost block out the noise, or not block out the ambient noises, but almost calm ourselves down. And I felt so much lighter afterwards. And it was one of those experiences where I feel like I could do this more often for sure. I mean, it wouldn't compare to doing it in right by the river, but it was really, really cool to see, to also just experience something different. That's what I liked about being there, is that they encourage you to expand your experiences too.
And that sense of peace and lightness that you found from that experience. I mean, we speak about it often as Sangeeta, that, you know, nature has this ability to help you find a sense of peace and clarity. Is that something that came from other sources during your stay, you know, being out on game drives, or when you walked into the lodge, or when you just spent time sitting somewhere?
I think it wasn't only that, but it was just the staff members as well. I definitely felt that from them. I think everyone, and there's something that I learned from a lot of people around me. So from like the people who were working at the bar, or the game drivers and the trackers, everyone was incredibly patient and respectful. So it almost made you want to slow down yourself. So it was just taking it from different references around you. It probably could have been like the catalyst for it, but I think there was just small pockets of it around me.
I think it's what you said about seeing other guests there experiencing Sangeeta on honeymoon or to celebrate something is quite cool. I mean, there's enough to observe around you in terms of the nature, the wildlife, the landscape, but it's almost quite interesting seeing other people's experience of Sangeeta too. And I believe you had quite a lot of interaction with other guests and conversations with them. How did that kind of influence your experience?
What was cool to see was each guest that I did interact with, everyone was willing to learn and understand what Sangeeta is all about. Not only Sangeeta, but also when you just learn about the history of South Africa and the Kruger and the Sabi as well. And they were very inquisitive, so they asked a lot of questions. And I really liked that they were able to, they were like sponges. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to see. So I kind of like sat back and I was mostly just observing and listening to these discussions. A majority of them were people from outside of the country. So I'm really happy that they were able to see South Africa in this way and experience nature and be a part of Sangeeta. Everyone wanted to be part of that shared community, which was really cool to see.
I want to ask you about, you know, if there were any aspects of the experience that challenged your expectations.
I think it mostly came down to the artworks, because I think I touched back on this regarding how there was almost like this preconceived assumption that I was going to paint animals. And of course, like, fear is all around us, and I would be excited to do so. But when that did come up as often as it did want me, I did feel the need to almost deviate from what was expected of me. And I'm happy that I was able to do so, because with the works that I made there, they challenged me in terms of what exactly I wanted to include in the paintings. So that means drawing and painting stuff that I'd never seen before, utilizing the references that I did over the past couple of days, 4 weeks, into those paintings, and intentionally finding the time to go out into the game drives, morning, afternoon, speaking more with people to get the knowledge of what I want to utilize in those paintings. So it was more about really putting myself out there and using the time that I had there to create work that would fully reflect what was really important to me in terms of my conceptual and cultural concepts and themes surrounding the work, as well as Sangeeta's ethos. So that was definitely the most difficult thing.
You explored, you experimented, you tried these new things, and you kind of came back to, as you say, the things you tend to focus on in your work, one of which is community. One of the artworks you produced is called The Tale of Sipho and Lawrence. Tell us about Sipho and Lawrence, that relationship, and what inspired you to create this piece.
Oh man, yeah, I actually still speak to them till this day that we actually send messages to each other just to wish each other like happy New Year's, happy holidays. So I've just been just checking up on them to see how they are. But they really did move me, I think, once I was there. I mean, I spent majority of my time with them at the game drive. So Sipho was the game driver and Lawrence was my tracker during the time at Sangita. And I was just so incredibly humbled and grateful. If they were here, I'll just keep on saying it, but I learned so much just regarding the way that they grew up in their communities. And even when they talk about Sangita as a whole, it was just really fulfilling and amazing just to hear just about like their Black ancestral knowledge and how they work. And the thing is, they made the effort just to, make it feel fun. Like it didn't feel forced. It was all natural. Like it felt like they were friends that you haven't seen in quite some time. That's the relationship that you'd have with them. And what I loved when we would go on the game drives, I'd be terrified to jump out of the car and then be walking around Sabi Sands looking at trying to track the animals. But they did it with so much ease and they would take the time to slowly look for the tracks, and you'd be sitting there in the car waiting for them. So I think that's where I learned about patience from them. And even when we would come across animals, we'd be sitting there for like 30, 45 minutes. And even like with the leopards that we saw there as well. And the thing is, you would learn to also almost like mimic them too. And it was just absolutely amazing. And I had dinner with them as well. And it was like a very intimate dinner. They're able to just tell me more about themselves and their lives and what they've learned about being at Sangita for so many years. Yeah, it was great.
You describe the work itself, then maybe talk a little bit about where that artwork came from.
So initially, since my work is intuitive and I didn't really have much of a plan going there in terms of what I was going to paint, I was just going to kind of lean into it. When I did tell myself that I did want to deviate from just drawing the animals that I was going to see there, I was like, what is it that makes Sangita Sangita? And that's when I started thinking about the people there and the people that did make like a very, very big impact to me were Sipho and Lawrence, just learning from them too. And obviously you'd see like the shades of green that I did paint the figures in was almost reminiscent of what they would be wearing when we would be going on the game drives. And Lawrence would always be walking around with the stick whenever he would find animals, the tracks on the sand, and he would circle the tracks with the stick all the time just to show us what animal it is, how old the track is, and how far or close they could possibly be. And the other figure is almost posed with his hand on his hip. And we're laughing about it because Sipho usually does stand like that often. And I wanted to use that almost khaki Naples color at the background, almost just to emphasize the figures that are the focal point in the artwork. And of course, just to put the background of the hills. And what was nice to see is that once I'd finished the artwork, Julian came up with this brilliant plan of taking the artwork out to, they call it the beach. So it's about like a 20-minute drive away from the lodge. And that's where you're going to see a lot of the animals crossing by the river. Very big open space. And we were trying to figure out how we're going to take this artwork, as 2 meter by 2 meter artwork, out to the beach. And like, I think a lot of people were worried that it was going to get damaged on the way there, considering the fact that there's like all these bushes and trees that could possibly scratch the artwork. But I didn't really mind. I think it was nice to have a bit of Sangita on the artwork anyway. So even when they did place on the sand, I told them not to ruin the sand. They could just keep it stuck at the bottom, which is like a really cool feature. So we're out there for about 2 hours, trying to get some shots in the different lighting. We had a lot of fun doing that, and I think it was really cool for people to see that almost like the behind the scenes of what we were doing at Simbito. Yeah, so I'm really happy that they were even able to come and see the artwork themselves, and I'm really grateful for that.
I think it's quite symbolic in a way that sand ended up on the artwork, given that you're in the Sabi Sand, along the Sand River, you're welcomed with a sand scrub hand wash. It's a symbolic element of nature in that region. So I think that's really, really cool. What was your process like? I mean, did you kind of go out and have these experiences, whether it's a sound bath or a game drive or a conversation, and then head back to the studio and start work immediately? Or did you sit with what happened and kind of process it and bring it to life later on? How did that play out?
What was nice that everyone was so well-versed in their surroundings and knowledgeable too. So I was able to learn so much about the trees and almost just look at the text from the trees too. And when I got with C.1 Lawrence and we were able to learn about how some of the trees or bushes were used for medicinal purposes. And it was really cool to almost utilize that within the artworks too. So with my still life that I did, which are like the smaller piece, I like to paint inanimate objects like, your fruits and your wine bottles, pretty much like your mundane items that you normally find. And someone pointed out to me the Bameleki stool, and I asked them where those almost like the knob textures that would come about, where does that come from? And they told me that it comes from the knob thorn tree, and they took me out to go and look at it, and it has like a thorn that's like almost curves from that knob there. So like I'd really love to utilize this in one of the vases, and it took some time, but I just had to be slowly patient with it just to make sure that it blends in harmoniously with the rest of the art piece. And yeah, same thing with the other works too. Even when I did the Tales of C.1 Lawrence, when I was doing the footprints as well, that took some time. I had to get some references from there. But luckily the staff did help me with printing out all those images just so that I can save it and use it for later.
It's one of those things that we tend to know. You have to go slower to go further or to feel better. Yeah. But until you experience it for yourself and you understand the benefit of doing that, it's not something that we tend to adopt, I think. And it can be difficult to have that realization without kind of being in nature, to be honest.
I feel like every single day there was something that was telling me, man, go slow down all the time. And I'm just so used to being in a constant state of you need to get up and work, you need to do something. There are deadlines or obligations that you need to attend to. So I think I was just running at full steam ahead, and I was so used to doing that. By the time I got to Singita, it was hard for me to do that, essentially. And I think that's what I mean when I said it was humbling, because it really did force me to consider about my artworks in general, because that's what my artworks are about. So what does it even mean if I'm not doing that?
Are there any lessons or realizations? Maybe it's going slow. Anything you've carried with you since you left the Sabi Sand?
There's actually one aspect that I forgot to mention that you just remind me of now. There was a day that we went to. It was this, I think, the third or second to last day of my stay there. We went out to Lilydale. I think it's called Lilydale. And we went out almost just to learn about the conservation and trusts that Singita leans into in terms of supporting the community that surrounds them. And it was really cool to learn more about how they support entrepreneurs in Lilydale. And so we went out to go see people who do like poultry farming and a gentleman that does like bone repair businesses and another woman who does like crochet and like sewing. Her business is there. So it was really cool just to is like different aspects of the businesses that they were supporting. And it really did move me how much they do take into consideration, not only just about the animals, but the people that surround them too. Especially the lady who does the sewing as well. She had a sewing machine that she had kept when she had started her business during COVID. A small machine, and it was old, and it was really hard for her to continue with her business. So they were able to get like a much larger, newer machine for her. So her businesses can run much smoother, and Yeah, and it was really cool to see how enthusiastic and proud they were of the businesses that they do run and how much they want to go further.
Something people might not realize coming from overseas is that how creative and resourceful and entrepreneurial a lot of Africa is.
Yeah.
You don't see it too often, so I'm glad you had that experience.
I'm happy I did too.
Yeah. The name of our creative collaboration series is Africa Is, and we're trying to showcase the depth and the breadth of talent from across the African continent. What would you want the world to know about Africa that maybe it doesn't know or fully understand?
For decades or centuries, I feel like there's this perception of Africa that can be quite negative, and I feel like we have so much more to offer than what's shown in media and what's spoken about in the Western world. And I think that when you do look at the arts and the communities that we have around here, I mean, it's so warm and so vibrant.
What makes community and people such an important influence in your work?
I take really great pride of the people that I surround myself with, whether that's family or friends. I take a lot of inspiration and I learn so much from them, the loved ones or close ones that I hold dearly to my heart. And of course, this stems from Zulu culture as well, where community is a huge part of who we are. I mean, I was speaking to Julian about this, about how a lot of the spaces that we do meet in when I'm back in Zuland is enveloped by nature. I mean, it's a rural area, and this is where you're going to have your funerals, umemulo, or some sort of mfimbi, which is like traditional ceremonies, or where there's a negative or positive aspect, and this is where everyone comes together to laugh together, to cry together. It really is important to have people around you that can support you. I mean, I do like my solitude as well, but yeah, it definitely is important to have people close by to you for sure.
So has your perspective on nature, the natural world, what it means, what it can do, what it entails, shifted at all?
I feel like it did when I was at Singita and coming back. It taught me so much more about pausing and reflecting and noticing the small things that are around me. That did happen a lot, especially when we were on the game drugs as well, when we were just out like searching for animals, or we were just stumble across animals or stuff that I've never seen before. Yeah, it was just what I meant when I said that when you were out there, it just requires for you to have a lot of patience. That's probably what I learned from there the most.
Is there a message or a piece of advice you'd like to leave other practicing or aspiring creatives with, based not just on your stay, but your experience as an artist thus far?
For other artists, what I would like to say to them is probably just be honest in your work, and it will truly show in the completed piece. I mean, I was scared not to include the animals. I think that's probably what people wanted to see, but I'm happy that I leaned into myself and trusted my intuition to go and see and feel and experience what I did there, and be honest in terms of what you want to create. That's definitely the message I definitely want to send out there.
I'm glad as well, because the works you created are absolutely incredible. Tell us what's next for you, and how can people follow along on your journey?
What's next for me is I have my sophomore solo exhibition coming up in New York. Southern Guild have recently just opened up a new gallery space there in Tribeca. So I'm really excited and incredibly privileged to have that opportunity to, and I'm excited for everyone to see this new series that I'll be working on.
Thank you for listening. If you want to follow other episodes of our podcast series, Safari Conversations, please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcast from, or on our website at singita.com.